Let's all stand for the scriptures. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Maybe see it.
Well, good morning, y'all. Before I begin, does anybody know what Azure means? Well, it's the reason I wore this shirt today. It's the color blue. I just want to comment before I start how beautiful the sky is on a clear blue day. I mean, if I were to live on any planet in the universe, there's not a more beautiful blue color than what God created. As an artist, I have a palette, and I've probably got about half a dozen tubes of different kinds of blues, and the closest one to azure, I think, would be a cerulean. That's one of my favorite. If I'm ever painting a blue sky in a painting, I'm sure to use cerulean. So the first Christians, after Christ died, were not Jews who killed Christ and put his blood upon all future generations of Edomite Antichrist. The first Christians, so named at Antioch, were the My People of Hosea 4:6, which Pastor Elmore just read, and were warned in that verse that they would be destroyed if they fell under the sway of disinformation. They would disqualify themselves from the Melchizedek priesthood. The history of the last 2,000 years is a record of the white race ignoring admonitions of God and his creation. I just mentioned azure, the color blue. How many people actually stop and look at the majesty of that blue color of the sky and just say, thank you, God? Well, probably not too many. It's perhaps at its lowest level of knowing what God decrees about race right now. Their mental lapse into situational ethics, which is Judaism or secular humanism, would jeopardize the future of God's people. This simple formula for knowing God's will was based on racial exclusion, otherwise known as racism. Today we witness Judah, Germany, and all of Europe inviting the rape and pillage of their homelands from racial aliens who devour the land just as the Bible predicted. It's ridiculous to assume that when God speaks of my people, he is specifically referring to every biped on earth rather than one peculiar people, as well as a chosen generation or genetics, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation that is racially pure. Racial inclusion was never a part of God's plan for the ages. It is fake knowledge that brings God's people into divine rejection. The knowledge of God is our hope for eternal life. When we lose sight of that great promise, God repudiates the prevailing priesthood, which takes our people in an entirely different direction, such as the worship of golden calves to the lust of golden arches. Our God, the God of Israel, hates the vacillation of the priestcraft respecting Baal and conniving social lawlessness. This is eternal life, that ye may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom ye have sent. John 17:3. White people, Israelites, don't have the desire, nor do they endeavor to understand the politics of race, because religion has made them colorblind to the curse of alien law. Churchianity tells us we must be tolerant and accepting of those who would destroy us. They make no effort to retain biblical racism or to transmit the knowledge of exclusivity into the memory of their posterity. And thus future generations of white children have forgotten their Creator and the purpose of creation. The natural genetic memory of the divine law is still there in their heart and mind, which is to say the new covenant. But it has been severely suppressed by the witchcraft of priests in rebellion to God. That is why so many professors of theology have grown fat and dull, so spiritually dead in the way of Christ. They have an inclination for some secret lust, which robs them of the love for their own kind. They become heartless and mindless of the injustices that surround Israel and do nothing. Isaiah reiterates the lament of Hosea. He said, "Therefore, my people go into captivity for a lack of knowledge. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitudes are parched with thirst." Hunger and thirst are metaphors for knowing and understanding Scripture. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord." Those days are upon us now. The prophecy of religious leaders being so out of touch with God is manifesting itself before our very eyes. And our children have been dumbed down to the doctrine of Balaam, a genetic dilution of intelligence and spiritual superiority. Is it any wonder that Christ would proclaim his disgust for a generation who would wander from reality like the proverbial Jew? "When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me." The Jew tries his darndest to conceal his identity, even pretending to be God's chosen people. And don't you think the so-called persecution of the Jews is getting a little bit stale, considering their terrorism against the indigenous people of Palestine, which expands into the Beulah land of America with the not-so-subtle Pax Judaica. We just completed our 40-day imprecatory campaign, and one of our scripture verifications for doing so was Psalms 109. And in verse 10, it says of our enemies, "Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places." Now, the Hebrew word for vagabonds here is nuah, number 5128 in Strong's Concordance, and means to waver in a great variety of applications, literally and figuratively, as subjoined continually. Now, the word subjoined means to add something to the end. At the end of our Bibles, in Revelation 22:18, it says, "If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues written in this book." And that is exactly what the Jew has done for 2,000 years, the practice of interpolating Scripture, that is, adding things which were never written by the inspired authors. Most Bibles today are versions of the Masoretic text, which were tainted with rabbinical professors who, in their capacity as Jews, hated the Word made flesh and have brought forth all the spacious arguments to deny the deity of Jesus, the Messiah. This does not spoil the surviving manuscripts, of which there are some 10,000, which scholars can translate and determine what the Jews have added to the text. The spoilage comes from the Jewish vagabonds who have no place in the construction of God's word. The Jew is being found out through Christian identity that they are not the true Israel people of the Bible, but a fugitive class of mongrels antithetical to the message of Jesus Christ. That is why Christ said in Luke 19:27, "But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me." There is not one single Jew in the earth who would have Jesus as their king. Not one! Nor do they want you to worship him. We are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The source of this lack of knowledge, so fatal to our people, was the willful rejection of that knowledge by shepherds who were compared to wolves. The wolves are those who purport to feed the sheep. However, the feed is contaminated and will slowly kill the flock with things that are not of God. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? And Jesus said unto them, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." The same is true with genetically modified organisms that are sold in grocery stores today. The cause and effect of fake food will create disease. The cause and effect of heresy will create instability. Those who impersonate Israel, the Jews, are revealed in the parable of the wheat and the tares. The tares are a noxious weed that looks very similar to wheat. The ears on the real wheat are so heavy that it makes the entire plant droop downward. But the tares, whose ears are light, stand up straight. These traits are symbolic of the humility of fruitfulness and arrogant pride of fruitlessness, respectively. Wheat ripens to a golden hue, whereas tares turn black. Even a few grains of the tare plant will adversely affect crop quality. Its seeds are poisonous to people and livestock. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked. Matthew 13:38. The King James Masoretic text written by Jewish rabbis interpolated that last part as the wicked one, so as to devise a scapegoat for the collective guilt of Jewry, all of which are wicked. An italicized word in the King James means it is not found in the earliest or best manuscripts and therefore considered specious. Now, you know, a lot of Jews could pass for white, but don't pass the smell test, that ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? The mixed blood mongrel is likened to pricks and thorns. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirits, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Let us therefore pierce the bubble of Judeo-Christianity that promotes the foolish idea that we don't need a kinsman redeemer, but a universalist mongrel savior with their endless pantheon of gods, spooks and goblins, disembodied spirits of occult Freemasonry, gargoyles in the architecture of movies, Jewish movies, and the wickedness of man's imagination continually evil. Century after century, man invents and reinvents a brand new revelation in the name of Christ. You know, there's nothing new under the sun, which means in their new game, the old game goes on. As a race, we never learn. We are bogged down in the slimy depths of a primordial swamp, and it affects the mind like a slippery slope of grease. It's so easy to eat whatever the priestcraft spreads on your bread than to object, saying, "Hey, this is dung." Thankfully, for the white Christian Israelite, we are begotten from above and can make the transition from this pitiful world of phantasms to the transformation of our mind, renewed and corresponding with the perfect will of Almighty God. Thankfully, the students of Christ, who know their identity, don't live under the sun of the status quo, for their life is filled with new things. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There is an extension of divine power in the conversion of the sinner as much as in the act of creating the world out of nothing. And that is as indispensable in the one case as in the other. We're nothing without Christ. You know, the church age is coming to an end because it's failed to bring forth the fruits of the kingdom. It's now up to the overcomers to overcome the world as did Christ. Unresolved sin pollutes the land and has a negative effect upon its ability to yield fruit. This is reflected in the law. I will also break down your pride of power. I will also make your sky, not blue, like iron, and your earth like bronze. Your strength will be spent in vain because your soil will not yield its crops, nor will the trees of your land yield their fruit. We cannot have a successful agriculture if there's no rain and the soil is hardened. When a white man rejects the good news of his God-given identity, he also rejects the divine mandate for taking dominion of his own proliferation. How many people don't have a second thought about where their food comes from? It's true. No farms, no food. But big farms, and I spelled that PH, do not produce edible food these days, and people slowly get sick from what they cannot process in their digestive systems. Spiritually, we cannot digest the Jewish fables and doctrines of devils. And that's the way the Jews want it. To forever evade their identity of mongrel seed and the purveyors of mongrelization. If our own people are regurgitating the leaven of Jews, our strength will be spent in vain. We may live under a Babylonian captivity, but we're not Babylonians. We have recourse to overcome adversity. In Solomon's prayer of dedicating the temple, he said, If my people, who are called by my name or authority, humble themselves and pray and seek my face or law, and turn from their wicked ways, not a so-called wicked one, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We cannot grow crops on injured soil. The ground must be restored of nutrients. When the time comes to bundle the tares and separate them from the wheat, what do you think is going to be thrown into the fiery furnace? Ghost or mongrels? There's no singular boogeyman that gets fried. It's all Esau Edom. And the world of heathens headed for a real Auschwitz dream come true. The blood of cleansing. Because the earth has been stained of innocent blood from a stream of Jewish-inspired wars of bloodshed will be applied to the earth itself. with the specific plea given in Deuteronomy 21. And they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Forgive your people Israel, whom ye have redeemed, O Lord, and do not place the guilt of innocent blood in the midst of your people Israel. And the blood guiltiness shall be forgiven them. By following these instructions, you will do what is right in the Lord's sight and will cleanse the guilt of murder from your community. The murderers and liars from the get-go of the Babylonian Talmud shall fall, just as surely and as quickly as the Twin Towers on 9/11. You might be wondering, do we have the authority? Well, of course we do. We've just been brainwashed to think we're helpless and that our salvation is in outer space with reservations made for someone in the distant, for some time in the distant future with a designer mansion made just for you because you loved everybody and were tolerant of strangers and their strange gods. If you're white and you're listening to Christian Identity, the truth is being revealed to you and you can bear witness to His Word that you have been given the authority for the intolerance of other gods and the heathen from whence they came. The revelations of truth were given to the Melchizedek priesthood to guarantee the survival of Christianity against a multitude of antichrist. Christianity is here today because white men were called and chosen to administrate God's law. The authorization was transferred from the sons of Levi to the overcomers in Christ, whereby, quote, every dispute and every assault shall be settled by them. If not us, then who? The Ninth Circuit of Appeals? If we turn to these black-robed devils, they will turn to their warehouses of legal lies. If they are the custodians of case law, a big lie that compromises the truth, then don't expect any sane verdicts. Expect sin in the camp and strong delusion. Expect the theologies of myth and superstition. Expect the wrath of God. If you can understand cause and effect, you can make course corrections and navigate away from the death and destruction. Do what is right, and God will clean the slate. Under the old covenant, this was a command to obey. Under the new covenant, it is a promise that it will happen regardless of your personal feelings. The guilt of innocent blood upon the earth will be removed. The question is, will you have anything to do with it? When you are called by God, by God, will you wear the badge of bigot? That is, by God. And with the gift of faith, act upon your calling? I believe we are living in the time when we fulfill the promises of God. He has raised up a generation of identity Christians who will hear His voice and do His work. The new covenant will do what the old covenant could not do, to destroy the wicked and to heal the land, our Beulah land. You want to know what's going on in Washington, D.C.? It's a whole bunch of Jews and their lackeys going insane. Don't think for one minute that these are normal people. They are swamp creatures from the Black Lagoon. They are not just mildly crazy like ha-ha late-night comedians. They are clinically and biblically insane. And just because it's on TV does not mean that this is a modicum of normalcy. You know things aren't right when the swamp is overflowing with scum and you're told it's being drained. Insanity is the reward for believing a lie. Believing Christ and the Antichrist at the same time is double-mindedness, which is an unstable mind. If you know a crime or sin has been committed and you say nothing, you're an accomplice. You can't have one foot standing on the rock and the other foot in the muck and mire. You can't eat poison and think you're healthy at the same time. But that is exactly what's been going on for several generations. At first it was called junk food. Now it's called Frankenfood, in honor of Dr. Frankenstein, and better living through chemistry. That is, chemicals that were never meant to be put in the human body as food. The Jewish lie is that all of these genetically modified organisms are good for us, just like a Jewish Jesus is good for Christianity. Neither could be further from the truth. Paul points out in Romans 1:21 through 25, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or give him thanks. But their thinking became nonsense, and their foolish heart was darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Because of this, God handed them over to the vile desires of their heart to disgrace their bodies among themselves. And they exchanged the truth of God for lies. And they revered and served created things more than their Creator, who is praised for the ages, end quote. This is saying they became perverts and immoral deviants because, like the Jew, they had no need for Christ. In fact, they thought they could deify themselves and be the potter, molding the clay like public opinion. They crowned themselves the prince of the power of the air with the scribes of modern media. For the last 10 years or so, I've said things are really getting crazy out there, and they were. But since the election of crypto-Jew Donald Trump, the heart of some foolish Americans has darkened like an eerie solar eclipse. The Sun of Righteousness, S-U-N, Malachi 4:2, has all but disappeared from the 501c3 churches. Although the best and brightest among televangelists portray an image of wisdom, they have become abject fools, parading one lie after another. They are dumb and blind, and when it comes to the foremost merchants of death on the planet, Jews, then that's who they emulate. What I'm seeing is the transition from crazy to insane. The new normal is insanity. And I say that not because it's coming from the peanut galleries of the local mall, but from official offices in government, mainstream media, and the ivory towers of academia. The difference between the crazies and the insane is that the latter is speaking matter-of-factly about overt murder, killing people because they're not in lockstep with liberal Democrats or feasting on Twinkies and Big Macs as a steady diet. But I can see how this all came about when people had a steady diet of nutritionless non-food, eating more and enjoying it less, in tandem with a steady diet of godless mongrelization and cultural Marxism, aided and abetted by an insidiously conjoined church and state. Now, I don't shock very easily, being that we are saturated with shocking current events almost on a daily basis. But this one took the cake, because I'm familiar with the people involved. When we lived in Washington State, our church would place group orders with a wonderful company in Oregon of white Christians. The company was Azure Standard and would truck deliver to groups in the Northwest. I think they started out with 4 or 5 trucks and would deliver organic products to Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. In the last 20 years, they have grown and become successful because they have blessed our people with decent, edible, and biblically clean food. In fact, they have become the largest distributor of organic foods in the United States. I looked on their website, and they've gone way east of the Mississippi River now. They even have a club here in Florence, Kentucky, with 123 members. They started out in 1970s with humble beginnings and have remained a family-owned business ever since. I like to think that our church planted the seed of Christian identity with them, and they were receptive. They were never hostile to what we had to say to them. The Stelzer family are good people, providing healthy, organic food. They are now under siege, like so many other things that are righteous. The following explains what's going on and why. They sent out this memo. Dear Azure customers, we've some extremely urgent news to share with you. All of Azure Standard's organic wheat, field peas, barley, einkorn, and beef is grown by Azure Farm on 2,000 acres of pristine, organically certified land in Sherman County, Oregon. The county is considering imposing draconian, highly toxic weed management laws and may force us to have our 2,000-acre organic farm sprayed with Roundup, also known as glyphosate, and other toxic herbicides. Azure Farm, organic for over 18 years, is potentially under threat of losing their organic certification due to intended forced spraying of glyphosate to eradicate certain weeds instead of allowing the farm to utilize organic methods of control. The farm is being threatened with possible liens to pay for the expense of labor and chemicals used, as well as having to pay for the eradication process from their own pocket. This is pretty ridiculous, not to mention just a bit scary, as it appears Sherman County is going to make Azure Farm pay to have their own business destroyed. Azure would lose their organic certification for 7 years because it takes that long to rehabilitate the soil that's been poisoned with herbicides and or pesticides to be recertified. We've just over 1 week to get as much support as possible before a Sherman County court hearing on May 17th. David Seltzer mentioned in a video that there were some locals who were grumbling about their church, and he simply replied that they weren't a 501c3. I'm simply guessing, as I don't think David wanted their religious views to be a factor in an agricultural dispute, or that they may be frustrated Christians with the apostate church and chose to worship and study at home with friends and family. Now, you know the media, they would love nothing more than to turn this into the headline, "Anti-Semitic Farmers Oppose Monsanto Jews." Monsanto is the Jewish-run family business, which brought us Agent Orange during the Vietnam War and has brought untold pain and suffering among veterans who were exposed to the highly toxic herbicide that destroyed millions of acres of foliage. Monsanto has undeniable Jewish roots springing from Louisiana, including Benjamin, Isaac, Manuel, Eleonora, Gracia, and Jacob. They made frequent purchases of black slaves in the 1790s. The original owner, John Francis Queenie, was married to a crypto-Jewess, the daughter of Emmanuel Mendez de Monsanto, a wealthy financier of a sugar company active in Puerto Rico and based in St. Thomas in the Danish West Indies. Monsanto's first big deal was selling the carcinogenic artificial sweetener saccharin to Coca-Cola. This same Monsanto family appears to have come up from New Orleans, where they were active in the slave trade, a very common activity for Murano Jews in the American South. John Queenie's mixed-race bastard son, Edgar Monsanto Queenie, took over the company from his father, and it was under his watch that they developed and sold such highly lucrative toxins as dioxin, PCBs, Agent Orange, bovine growth hormones, along with a plethora of toxic plastics. They were also involved in the Manhattan Project, creating the first atomic weapons. Death and destruction and duplicity are the true trademarks of this company run by rapacious Jews. A lot of good information on the Monsanto octopus can be found at the link below. There's been absolutely no coverage from the national media monopolies, nor Oregon itself, other than local outlets. Could that be because of who owns major media? What Jew is going to rat on another Jew? Just how far-fetched is it to think a little old county out in the middle of nowhere has the chutzpah to decimate a huge organic farm with Jewish-made poisons, and that this just might set a precedent to spray whoever they want to in the future in other places around the country? Maybe your own organic garden of tomatoes and peppers. Sherman County officials are reinterpreting a law concerning the control of noxious weeds so that it means eradication. A devastating letter for the county from agricultural scientist Charles Benbrook wrote, quote, Yesterday, I fielded an article concerning a rather distressing mandate by an Oregon County weed control agency seeking to force the application of hazardous herbicides onto a 2,000-acre organic farm who maintains the scorched earth policy is necessary to abate or specifically eradicate weeds listed by state statute as noxious. Now the scientific community is responding to this overreaching government action by acting in the interest of health and responsible environmental stewardship through advocacy in the hopes that officials in Sherman County will reconsider their mandate. I have published multiple scientific papers in peer-reviewed journals on glyphosate, its human health risks, and the impact of genetically engineered crops on overall herbicide use and the spread of resistant weeds. The notion that Sherman County can eradicate noxious weeds by blanket herbicide spraying is deeply misguided. I cannot imagine a single reputable university weed scientist in the state supporting the idea that an herbicide-based noxious weed eradication program would work. That is, eradicate the target weeds in Oregon or any other state. Given that almost no one with experience in weed management believes that any long-established weed, noxious or otherwise, can be eradicated with herbicides, one wonders why the county has adopted such a draconian change in its noxious weed control program. I can think of two plausible motivations. A desire by companies and individuals involved in noxious weed control activities via selling or applying herbicides to increase business volume and profits, or an effort to reduce or eliminate acreage in the country that is certified organic, end quote. And he goes on with extensive research and science, but I think you get the idea that it's bad. It's a bad idea. There was a lady named Barb who wrote a very pertinent comment at farmwars.info. She said, those of us who are not able to tolerate these poisonous substances will suffer, as will those who trying to eliminate them from their diets due to health reasons, or even because they simply do not agree with the chemicals being added to our environment on a daily basis. Consider this. Three Washington counties, Yakima, Benton, and Franklin, experienced an unusually high number of birth defects at around the same time as glyphosate was being used extensively for several years to eradicate noxious weeds on land and in the water. That birth defect is called anencephaly. Am I saying that right? We have a registered nurse in the audience. Anencephaly. Could there be a connection? It appears that Yakima, Benton, and Franklin counties just happen to have three things in common. The Yakima River, a noxious weed eradication program using copious amounts of glyphosate for years on both land and in the river, and an increase in anencephaly, which glyphosate just happens to be suspected of causing. I think a case could be made, at least in the court of divine justice, that there has been a long-range plan running concurrent with the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, Jews, to eliminate the American family farm and the eradication of healthy organic food. the economically engineered depression by Jewish economists saw new farming methods of chemical fertilizers in the Midwest turning fertile soil into worthless hardpan. Americans have gotten sicker because the food is less healthy from food additives and preservatives. So they go to Jewish-trained doctors for help, and they prescribe drugs manufactured by the Jews of Big Pharma. And the people get even sicker. They can't figure out that an increase in tumors and cancers might be related to a decrease in nutrition. The average American consumes more than 3,600 calories daily, a 24% increase from 1961, when the average was just 2,880 calories. Our growing consumption of vegetable oils alone accounts for more than half of the calorie spike. Cheap oils for deep-fried fast foods cannot be digested without long-term consequences. As we eat more junk accumulates in our body, and we cannot get rid of it fast enough. Fast to go in, slow to go out. But are they, meaning the Jews, killing us as fast as they would like? Are they, the Jews, getting rich fast enough to eradicate white Christian Americans before we wake up and kill them? In an amazing and outrageous admission which typifies today's sermon, the Antichrist cannot contain their malice for our race and target the most helpless, our children. In an ocean of disinformation and controlled opposition, the flames are fanned by those who purport to be putting out the fires. In an inflammatory article by Natural News blogger Mike Adams, he writes this gem of a headline, and I almost fell for it. Quote, Boston Herald calls for government-run execution squads to mass murder naturopaths, scientists, and journalists who oppose mercury in immunizations, end quote. Then the first paragraph states, in the latest lunatic, insane example of vaccine rage now being pushed by the criminal vaccine industry and its corporate-run media prostitutes, the Boston Herald's entire editorial staff has openly called for what are essentially government-run execution squads to mass murder scientists, naturopaths, chiropractors, and journalists who question the safety of injecting children with mercury, a brain-damaging toxin still found in flu shot vaccines administered to children and expectant mothers, end quote. But when you dig a little deeper into this story, this is what the Boston Herald actually said. Quote, these are the facts. Vaccines don't cause autism. Measles can kill. And lying to vulnerable people about the health and safety of their children ought to be a hanging offense. End quote. Well, here's the problem in a nutshell. The editorial was in reaction to the recent outbreak of 51 cases of measles in Minnesota, primarily among the Somalian immigrant population. They got vaccinated and their pickaninnies got autism. They didn't get shots back in Somalia and nobody got autism. So now the tar black Africans are caught in the middle of a controversy where the media whores didn't report autism statistics for Somalians in Minnesota in a given time period. The Boston Herald thinks that withholding the information, the statistics, was a hanging offense. That's the key phrase right there, which is a far cry from execution squads in a figuratively given idiom. Who cares about non-whites? The solution is not to let Somalians become the poster child for anti-vaccinations, but to let them go home to an autism-free society. Don't get me wrong, I believe autism is related to vaccines, but the culprit has always been the Jew. And the victims are white children that I care about. Yeah, they're trying to kill us, but let's not get sidetracked with disinformation that makes the truth look and sound ridiculous. If there was one iota of God's law being discussed, we would be putting these protocols to sleep in a lake of mercury. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And we exchange intelligence for insanity. The new normal is going beyond crazy. We are entering a weird zone of satanic darkness that worships death, and they're openly removing their mask, revealing just how diabolically they really are. Our predecessors from the first century must have faced a similar adversary who wanted what they had without fulfilling any of the requisites, like obeying the word law of God. When we make a profession of faith, it is a relationship and commitment to our kinsman redeemer. It is the unity of fellowship that cannot and should not be broken by denominational truth purporting to be equal with or the same as God's truth, any more than God's law with church law. Every denominational church has forsaken their first love, are suffering persecution, need to repent, have a false prophet or prophetess, have fallen asleep, or are lukewarm. They don't have a racist bone in their body, and they're proud of it. They have been compromised perfectly for their Babylonian masters. They are starving in a famine of hearing the word and don't even know it. They lack knowing what they're lacking. Multicultural logic has aborted the truth of God with the traditions of man. Most people merely guess about what the truth is, or worse, cannot discern what is a lie. In the first century, Christians met in homes for worship and Bible study. The notion of a 501c3 corporation would have been laughable for the called out ones, the ecclesia. It didn't take long for the early church to become corrupt with a symbiotic state to show me the money. And it's been downhill ever since to the road of either extreme opulence or extreme poverty. The apostate church has a vested interest in the status quo. That's why they don't like Christian identity. Greed over race rules the hive. God has given us a mind to know Him, if only we would use it. And I'm happy to report that some people got fired up with Azure Standard threat to all of us, and the rebellion went viral in less than a week. Sherman County has backed down and will not be spraying our Beulah land with godforsaken chemicals. Some of us still remember our first love, and the old normal wasn't so bad after all. Thank you.